So the logic behind this article, he said, please pirate my songs, because if everybody knows my songs and everybody comes to my concerts, I'll make much more money than if everybody buys my records and nobody comes to my concerts. And it makes sense, you know? So another problem, the big five record labels distribute 85% of music that is distributed worldwide. That's a big oligopoly of culture, which, you know, music is basically culture. I won't go into detail, but based on an article that the widow of Kurt Cobain, the Nirvana leader, wrote an article saying Courtney Love does the math. She said, we have a band, four members, they're given $1 million in advance, 20% royalties, which is unheard of, and they sell 1 million records. That's like huge success. She broke down the numbers, what does the band make and what does the record label make, and basically, after all this, the band makes zero, and the record label makes $4 million. Yeah, quite fair. Where is the problem? Here is the problem. It's a trick. They don't tell you the trick, but I've studied the Spanish recording industry. When I talk about records, I'm talking about movies and I'm talking about books, but I just pick on music because it's so spectacular. Here's in blue, sales of records in Spain. Okay, sales go up, and then when price goes down. But when price goes up, sales go down. It's just free market, you know? Now don't tell me it's piracy. It's the price of the CDs that's driving up and down the sales. Another thing is when they say, this year the recording industry has sold 14% less records because of piracy. They don't tell you they produce 25% less physical records. How do they expect to sell more if they produce less, you know? It doesn't make any sense. They're playing with the numbers. There's some research done by the BBC that says those people who download and trade the most music are the people who buy the most. And it sounds counterintuitive, but it makes a lot more sense than you think. If you sample more music, there's a higher chance that you'll find what you like. And people don't like wasting time downloading music, finding the cover, printing the cover, burning the CD, cutting the cover. You know, you just go to the store and buy it if you really, really, really like it. But you gotta know that you really like it. And you know, most of the time you buy a CD, you like one song, the other 14 are like worthless. So when you can sample the whole CD before buying it, it's a big promotion, it helps you buy it. That's why you got these headphones in the music store, so you can sample it first, it works. There's another research done by the Harvard University in North Carolina that says P2P networks and trading songs does not affect sales of CDs. So just keep your open mind and let's move on. It's not only music, it's not only movies, it's not even only books, it's even software. Now, Spanish law treats software and the other content differently. From my point of view, I'm divided. Software is a tool, and it's not necessarily culture. But at the same time, you know, software can be even art, depending on how you look at it. And software is also an industry that's got a big problem with a big corporation being extremely protective, and another side called open source free software being extremely open. What happens is that the protective industry is making it impossible to research software. Now, do you know that if you find a hole in a software, okay, let's say you use an Internet Explorer, and all of a sudden you find a way to enter the browser from the back door and infect a computer? You know, that's absolutely possible. It happens every day. Do you know that since very recently, if you find that and you expose it publicly, you write an article and say, hey, Microsoft, you know, fix this, because it's causing people a problem, you can go to jail. You cannot say it. Researchers cannot make public security holes in software anymore in this country. It used to be possible. It used to be healthy. Cannot anymore. What's happened is that the number of holes, number of security issues is steadily going up. As more software is available, more holes are available. But the number of publicly known holes are going down. That's a breeding culture for hackers or crackers or virus writers or whatever, the bad guys, to take advantage of that, because nobody knows about those problems, but they know how to take advantage of it. So being protective also affects the security of the product. Science, it happens in science. It's amazing we're in the decade of the internet, and yet bio researchers say, two-thirds of them, say that in this decade, less information is shared than the decade before. Come on, it's a lot easier today, yet patents and big corporations are making them not share their information. So it's affecting science, it's affecting security of software, it's affecting culture. Come on, it's affecting everything. Even desktop printer ink. Did you know that you're paying 7 times more for your desktop printer cartridge ink than you will pay for Dom Perignon champagne? Now, you know, the ink can be good, very good, but I don't advise you to drink it. That's because the cartridge has a chip, and the chip is patented. And what it does is that nobody can make a cartridge for my Epson printer. If anybody does and puts the chip in, they'll sue him. And if anybody does and doesn't put the chip in, the printer doesn't work. That's basically creating a monopoly, a legal monopoly through patents. So all that, and it's affecting a lot more industries. I won't go into too much detail. By the way, all this information is freely available from my website, of course, so you can download it and read it slowly later. Now, those two graphs are not mine, and I think they are from the Berkman Center at Harvard University, but it might be Professor Lessig's. So just ask him and don't blame me if I put it wrong there. I'll get in trouble. No plagiarism here, okay? It's not mine. Basically, it's a very interesting research. Public domain. Do you know that copyright protection has been increased several times throughout history? Like, for over 200 years, it was steady in 14 years. Then it was increased once and kept going. Now, look at this graph. This is the birth of Mickey Mouse. As Mickey Mouse was going to enter the public domain, they pressure politicians and say, hey, please, give us more time to make money out of it. And say, why not? Increase it. Mickey Mouse got getting old, and as he was getting close, increase it. And it keeps increasing. You know, if it was a good idea to keep it as it was for over 200 years, why so recently we think 14 years is not enough to make a profit out of a work? I mean, today, if you bring out a movie, bring out a book or whatever, and don't make money the first year, you're a loser. Okay, 2 years, why not? Okay, 3 years, it takes you forever to get to Birmania, fine. 14 years is like a lot of time. Today is 70 years plus the life of the author, so it's over 100 years. You need 100 years to make money out of your work? Come on, how slow can you be? But there's another problem, is the longer that the protection, the longer it takes for public domain to enter public domain. Public domain are works that are not protected anymore. Old works, you know, Don Quixote. From 1790, here is the works that will enter public domain. Here the law was extended, so nothing. Let's start over. Here the works, extended, nothing. Here the works, extended, nothing. Today, this is the public domain that we have available, basically Shakespeare. But that gray area is the public domain we could have if copyright law would not have been extended. Most copyright owners are happy with 14 years protection. Most copyright owners do not make a cent after 14 years. After 2 years, like we said, but Mickey Mouse, you know, it's a lot of money. 1930 books, 86% are out of print. You cannot get them. If they were public domain, you could get them through internet, whatever, but you can't because they're protected. Same thing with movies. Movies between 27 and 46, 93% are unavailable. Culture that is lost, inaccessible. You cannot access that culture because Disney wants to make money out of Mickey Mouse. Doesn't make any sense. Question and answer?
Yeah.
Okay, just 2 minutes. Alternatives. Here are wrong solutions. Of course, keep extending copyright. It makes no sense. Paying royalties on blank media, collecting societies, those things happen in Europe. It's proven to be wrong. Here's some myths of the industry. You know, they say, well, if you don't pay for works, creation will disappear. That's wrong. That's why. But there are 10 things. Phrase from 19th century basically saying the same thing as I was saying. The ways to compensate author. Okay, if we take out copyright protection, how will the author make money? Well, I'm sure somebody will ask that question, and then I'll answer. More quotes. Here we have licenses. We got from copyright You cannot do anything except make money. Creative Commons, everything is optional. Open source model, like you can do everything except make money. FreeBSD, you can do everything, including making money if you want to. Public domain, do whatever you want. You know, there's a full range of options being considered today. But I want you to read this before the answering question. In the meantime, I can drink water. Okay, you're trying to explain to Martian what copyright is. And once you're done, the Martian asks you those questions. Basically, to put it short, after you explain to Martian what copyright is, he says, so when you debate with your neighbor the upcoming elections, do you charge him? And you're like, no, you know, how could I charge the neighbor for that? And he tells you, well, are you investing time and expressing your ideas? And isn't another person benefiting from your ideas? And you're like, huh, weird. Yeah, you just gave me an idea and you leave. What's the idea that he gave you? Are you gonna go and charge your neighbor? Or are you gonna rethink about intellectual property? You know, depending on your choice, you use one side or the other of the debate. Basically, here's talking about open source software, which is a big example that creation can happen even if money is not involved. People are making money with open, like, these people sell books. Their books are freely available on the internet. And they sell books, and they make money. You know, Wikipedia, please use it, it's great. So how do I imagine the future? I imagine a free future where authors will make more money. And that's another question somebody will ask, so I skip it. What can be done? Activism, gather information, debate, take a side on the debate, and then do something about it. Here, website for more information, people are working on it, and it just, no, I may not share your ideas, but I'll defend your right to say with my life, so go ahead, ask questions, and I'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, does anybody have a question?
While you ask questions, here's the website where you can download the slides. The audio will be available from the CIS. And this work, of course, in the public domain, so you can do anything you like, even sell it if you like. Good luck. So questions. You got to have questions. Don't tell me you have questions.
Okay.
If nobody asks the question, I will ask myself, how does the author make money? And I will be here until, you know, after two, after three, until nobody has any question. So don't worry.
My question is actually not how the author makes money. My question is, if you were Mitch Glazer, not Jack Valeni, but if you worked for the recording industry, what would you do to, do they have to die, I guess is the question, or is there something they can do to find a role in the world you're seeing?
Okay, there are lawyers here, so please advise me. If I say they have to die, do I get in trouble? Okay. No, I don't think they have to die. Look at history. Remember, I don't know, you probably are not that old, but I am. Remember the video Betamax case? The movie industry said the video will be the end of movies, period. Well, right now they make more money out of renting videos and DVDs than they make in the movie theaters. And obviously the movie industry has not died. I think they should sit down, take it very easy. I know they're very nervous, I will be too, but take it very easy and think. Scenarios, talk with experts, talk with authors, talk with consumers. Once all the talk has been done, once they reach a conclusion, then they can talk to politicians. You know, they should be always the last ones, because their role should be, okay, this is what people want, let's make it law. So let's leave them for the last one. But they should think of scenarios. They should, what will happen if I let this go free? What will happen if, would people pay for this? And look at research, look at what people are doing in other countries where the law is different, talk with authors, and then make a decision. But they shouldn't like take unilateral action saying, okay, just because I said so, screw you all. You know, I think that's wrong. And if they come to a conclusion that their role is unnecessary, they should be sincere enough and do just like Jeff Valenti did, change jobs, you know?
Just a quick question. Do you think that copyright should be allowed but for a shorter period of time? Or, because you said that 14 years was fair, but maybe 5 or 10 years would be more fair, or just completely get rid of it entirely?
Okay, good question. I like to be thought-provoking. I like to open minds. I like to present the whole broad range of options. And I don't really like to say, what will I do? Because I don't like to interfere in your thought process. But, well, I don't have that influence on you, so I can tell you. I think, seriously, the greatest thing we could do is get rid of it completely and see what happens. It's bold, it's dangerous, it makes everybody nervous, but there's data enough to prove that it won't be that bad. It'll actually be that good. But in case we're not that wild, that brave, in case we're more conservative, or let's see what happens, reduce copyright protection and see what happens. That would be good enough. I mean, I would be happy, sincerely, you know, if copyright protection was brought down to 5 years, which is time enough to make a lot of money out of a work. And if you don't make money in that time, you know, perhaps it's not worth it. So you could do that. Okay, good.
Wait, give me a second. I have a question about the LAN party and your numbers from that. I don't understand what that was precisely in terms of, you didn't describe it, but people just get together to share content, and how is that any different than sharing that content without getting all together in one room?
Right, good. That's a very good question. Well, in order to understand that, you have to physically be there, because I'll tell you my impression, but basically, okay, I did that research there because I had people there to ask them questions. It would be very different to try to email P2P network users questions and have them respond. You know, it would not be that easy. So it was very practical for me. It was very easy for me to do research there. But also, like you said, when they gather physically, something happens. It's very strange. It's like a, you know, political conventions, everybody's so hyped up, you know? It's the same thing. You get people with the computers, and they think computers. You get people with piles of music CDs, and they think music. You know, they're all excited about it. So a lot of trading happens.
Right, but my question goes more towards you're using that data to make an argument that you're expanding towards as regards copyright protection for all sorts of material that's traded online. And I'm wondering whether the nature of the trading that's done at that event is not really reflective of what would be done on networks in general.
Okay, part and part, true. Some of that trading would not happen if it wasn't physical. You know, if I couldn't walk up to a guy and say, do you have this? Are you interested in that? You know. But most of the trading happened through P2P networks. Like I said, downloading 49%. Burning CD physical copies, it was only 14%. So you could basically extrapolate what happened there to the internet pretty safely.
I don't see how that's possible because just generally speaking, a much larger proportion of the population is a consumer of music than is a producer of music. So it might be that a lot of more people at this event went and posted, or 40% are authors of their own music as opposed to...
I think it was 20, but it was a huge number. I surprised myself. But then again, well, the full research paper will be available online in 2 weeks. But basically, it explains what an author is. That we have another confusing issue there. We tend to think only Prince is an author. Anybody that creates anything is an author. The fact of the matter that enters the commercial roads doesn't mean anything. I mean, if I create music, it doesn't matter if I sell it or not. I created music. So
software. I mean, what proportion of the population is competent to write software versus download other people's software?
Okay, there's 1 million software programmers working in open source software. Besides people working for Microsoft, IBM, whatever, there's 1 million programmers working in open source. So it's not a large percentage of the population, but it's a large number. A lot of those people come to LAN parties. They were programmers, they were musicians, they were more creators, more authors there than in an average population. But that only makes my point stronger. I mean, usually we tend to think that authors will be against getting rid of copyright, but there we have authors that are more than willing to share their works. So I'm just being thought-provoking. You know, I'm not trying to be absolutely scientific, but that's the reason behind those numbers.
Can I ask Have you thought about how your proposal would apply to different types of works? So, for example, the economic point of copyright is to provide a system where creators can appropriate the commercial value of their work. That provides incentive to create. That's the story, the orthodox story. You may think that in a world where digital recording studios make the production of music relatively cheap, that a patronage system, for example, or a kind of open source system for music would work. But what about for movies, where your typical movie is these days $100 million?
Yeah, that's the reason why the research paper is not online yet, because writing that part is that what's taking me the longest. True, absolutely true. That's one of the most difficult issues to deal with. Music is obvious. Anybody can make music in the computer today. Not everybody has a computer. Not everybody has the taste or the sensibility to make music, but it's physically possible to produce it. Books is obvious. Ever since the Middle Ages, we can all write more or less well, so we can all make a book. But like you said, how about movies? That's a big question. Okay, on one hand, we have like the Blair Witch Project kind of movie, the Bowling for Columbine kind of, I have a camera, I'm going to make a movie kind of movie. But then again, like you said, big productions. Okay, number one, it's not like we need big productions. We're all happy to have it, but it's not like we need it. I mean, I don't think we should kill the sharing of culture just to protect George Lucas. But I'm George Lucas' number one fan, so I don't want him to starve. But it's very funny to understand that George Lucas makes a lot more money from merchandising than he makes from movie theater ticket sales. Yeah, also copyright. Yeah, but think about it. Physical piracy of physical brands, Armani shirts, have gone up in the last year 1,650%. Piracy online of music has gone up 35%. Yet, the physical apparel industry is not all up in arms against it. Yeah, clothing and stuff. Well, yeah, but let's... Yeah, well, good. That's the point. That's the point.
Music isn't that way.
Exactly. That's the point. They are selling something that next year is out of fashion. They're selling something that is physical, and you can see the difference in quality. They're giving the consumer added value. They're giving quality. They're giving design. They're giving something that the consumer can physically touch.
They're pursuing a price discrimination strategy where the $3,000 dress is knocked off at $300.
True. True.
That's a mechanism that works in fashion, but it works in fashion only. It's not generalizable.
True. I agree. So that's why I think merchandising will not be that affected, because if it was quality merchandising, was sold right like at the movie theater, or, it is a big debate. I understand there's a big debate, but I'm not seeing ticket sales as the only way. Now, another thing, ticket sales. Have people stopped going to the movie theaters in Spain because you can download a movie? No. Because watching a movie on a computer screen is, pointless. You gotta go to the movies. So it's a matter of where is value. And in the case of movies, value is in special effects, special sound, and you have to go to the movie theater. So they will not be affected. Music is the one that is, most dangerous right now. Books are obvious examples that, gone. The industry should be gone because you can download it. But then you got Professor Lessig here. I put his book free on the internet, and he's selling books physically. So perhaps a mix could work. I'm trying to be a bit extremist to have people enter the debate and try to argue with me. But I agree with you. Perhaps it shouldn't be that extreme, but a mix system could work.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about the private copy law in Spain and how it compares to the doctrine of first sale in the U.S.?
Okay. The private copy is a provision in the copyright law in Spain, intellectual property law in Spain. Intellectual property law in Spain is different from American law, since it's supposed to be different. We have moral rights of the authors, and then we got economic rights. Moral rights are unalienable, which means if you are the author, you cannot say you're not. You have the right to keep your work complete. Their rights are very nice, but they don't mean anything in terms of money. And then you got economic rights, exactly the same as the copyright law here, exactly the same. But the private copy provision is Chapter 2, Article 30.2. And it basically says that any person can make any copy, it doesn't say anything about number of copies, of any work except software and except for profit. So it cannot be for profit. You cannot sell it or rent it. And it cannot be software. But as long as it's not software, it's not for sale or rent, you can make any copy. And it doesn't even tell you it has to be yours. The city can be your brother's, you know, that, or your neighbor's. So that, in effect, makes absolutely legal P2P networks, makes legal burning the city and giving a Christmas gift to your mom, you know. It works that way. And as I've shown you numbers, it doesn't affect the industry. Because as we were debating, content is not the only value. You know, you want the nice design, you want the nice quality, you want the convenience of, oh, I'm in the store, oh, nice CD, oh, I take it. I don't have to download it, find if the quality is right, put it together, print the cover. You know, convenience is also a value. So it's not affecting the industry, basically. Yeah. It's been a ride for like over 20 years.
One more question. Yeah, anybody else have a question real quick?
Well, I guess my question is, when do you think things become public domain? Because, for instance, DVDs are encoded so that if I have a DVD that I bring from home in England, I can't play it here, and vice versa. So if a DVD is released in the US, it's not public, it's not in the public, it's not technically in the public domain in England yet, but should I be able to copy it or download it from the US? I mean, how do you view all that?
Okay, we get technical there, and it gets really complicated. Basically, a work enters the public domain as soon as it's not protected by copyright. So basically, if protection is 70 years plus the life of the author, and the author lived 30 years, it's 100 years. So if the work is 120 years and it's public domain, the fact that it's in a DVD or not has nothing to do, because what enters the public domain is the work, not the representation. So it's like Cinderella is in the public domain, but Disney's representation of Cinderella is not. Disney's character drawing of Cinderella is not, but Cinderella character is. So you could write a book having Cinderella as a main character, but you could not draw Disney's Cinderella in the cover. So you have to differentiate. But your question brings another question, big time, that is, copy protection, like DVDs, are region encoded, or even worse, what's going to happen October 1st in Spain? The legal code is changing, so now it will be illegal. It will be like the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. If you have a software or any tool that helps you overstep or make it not usable, an anti-copy device, then you can go to jail 2 years. But that in one hand. But then DVDs are encrypted, like you said. And the law says I have a right to make a copy of them. But I cannot make a copy of them if I don't de-encrypt them. And if I de-encrypt them, I have the tool to de-encrypt it. If I have it, I go 2 years to jail. So, you know, you got a right, but if you exercise that right, you go 2 years to jail. You know, that's when software, digital, content, culture clash. So something's got to be done. That's my, if I want you to walk out with any idea out of this, is that something's got to be done. Nobody's happy. Authors are not happy. Recording industry is not happy. Consumers are not happy. Software writers are not happy. Nobody's happy. So something's got to be done, and it's got to be thinking about the future. Now, okay, today we have CDs. Let's protect CDs. Well, tomorrow we will not have CDs. Everything will be online or not. You know, let's think of the future, and let's think what effect that has on culture, on society, education, everything. Okay. Thank you.